Meanwhile, outside the Hellfire Club, Tony Stark bids Emma Frost goodbye.
I don't know where I'd be without you. Maybe dead, maybe not sober, wishing I was dead. However it goes out there, anything good that happens is because I had you to lean on. And Emma, whatever happens...
Anthony.
Oh.
We'll discuss life after. If there's a life after.
Oh, I know that kiss. I've gotten that kiss from several women. The big goodbye is on the horizon. I'm getting a nipple twist. Oh, I know that nipple twist. I've gotten that nipple twist from several women. It means, hey, okay, maybe we'll still be fuck buddies after this. Okay. Oh,
zip.
Oh no. Oh, now she's jerking me off. Okay. Oh, I know that jerk off. I know that hand job. I've gotten many hand jobs from women before, and this is the one that says, uh-oh, it seems like you might have an overdue library book. Oh, on the horizon. Oh my gosh, now a finger's going up the butthole. Oh, I can't believe we're doing this outside the limo in the car. Everyone can see it. You know what? I have not had this happen before. So you know what? Hey world, I think me and Emma just might work out.
I heard all of that.
Oh, that's right, fuck.
Hi everybody, and welcome to episode 291 of Comic Book Queer's Legacy. I am your host, Brett, and with me as always, who could it be? It's Evil Jeff.
What?
Hey,
me?
Sister.
Me, Evil.
My sister.
Hey, sister. Hey, sister. You know what, sister?
I've been
wanting to tell you, sister, that you're an ugly piece of shit. That's my dream.
Okay, get
my
the plain fuck
Jane.
Out of my station.
That's my plain Jane impression. Hey, sister. I know you didn't ask, but I think your drag is not on my level and you should
garbage.
Kill yourself.
We'll talk about Drag Race at the end of the show. Anyway, we'll talk about Drag Race at the end of the show. I've got a few things to say about Miss Plain.
Okay.
Yeah. But first, Evil Jeff.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm good. You know, just, you know, life. Life, you know, slinging its... arrows at me dodging
the
some.
Slings
getting,
and arrows.
Yeah, the slings and arrows getting hit by some, dodging others. You know, how about you?
Same girl. I actually, fun fact, went to Atlantic City for the weekend for the first time.
For work or for fun?
Just for fun. We had to drive out to Maryland to see the in-laws, and on the way back, we're like,
where in Maryland? I'm from Maryland.
Havre de Grace.
Oh.
On the bay.
Oh, that's nice. I like it.
Yeah,
there.
We were having lunch. We met them for lunch. We drove 3 hours to meet them for lunch. They're old. And on the way back, we're like, you know, New York is another 2.5 hours. Let's stop in AC. And so we had a little weekend in AC. And it was better than I thought it was going to be.
You know what? I think if you don't, if you lower your expectations, you can have fun. Because it's just casinos.
It was fun.
Like, casinos are fun.
I love casinos. Like, that's our element.
Is it still smoking there, though? Is it still smoking there?
There are designated smoking areas.
Okay,
because
sometimes if it's
adheres to.
If it's when it's all smoky and dingy, it can be a little depressing.
It was pretty, it was like, the only way you would tell it was smoky is I had a tickle in my nose the whole time, which... I mean, I'm a former smoker. I don't care.
How about, and it's still free drinks if you're gambling, right?
Yeah, if you're sitting there gambling, it's free drinks. But what it was is there is a production company called Spiegel World that does shows that you would fucking love in Vegas. There are three shows. It's like variety act after variety act in like a very kind of vulgar, thematic, character-driven framework. What I mean by that is, one show called Absinthe in Vegas is like these acts are at the Moulin Rouge. Another one called Opium in the Cosmopolitan is on a spaceship. You know, there's another one that's like a Wild West show. And so they opened one in Atlantic City with the restaurant that typically is coupled with these shows. So it sent a sign that a company in Vegas I really respect is willing to invest in Atlantic City. So I hope it's on the mend. I hope.
Are these shows sexy? Like,
they're very sexy. In fact, two seamen came up to us at the connected restaurant before the show, walked right up to me and Jeff and were like, you two look like guys who like semen. And then they basically put a temporary tattoo on Jeff's neck that said, slay queen, slay.
What did these semen look like?
They actually were an act. So
were they like were their muscles showing?
That's all they were. They were dressed up like very skimpy sailors.
What is it about?
Ripped to the gods.
Of all the military, sailors is the sexiest. What is it about that sailor hat and those white bell bottoms and the striped shirt?
They're showing a lot of skin. They're showing a lot of skin. And then during the show, they came out and they were a two-man act that spun on ropes. Like above you, they did the most incredible aerial acrobatics. So it's called The Hook. The restaurant is called Super Freako. If you're in the South Jersey Shore area, check it out.
Love it.
Love it. We love a good time.
I love that. Do you have any hot topics for today?
You know, girl, let's get into the comic book stuff with some hot topics.
Hit the music.
We got some hot topics. Yeah.
Okay, sister. So have you heard of Julia Carpenter?
Wait, who's that? That name sounds familiar.
It's who Sydney Sweeney played in Madame Web.
Right, right, right. Yes. Okay. All right.
Are you familiar with the powers of Madame Web?
I thought she, isn't it just like she makes these like kind of electro webs?
Precognition.
Oh, really?
Madame Web is a Destiny ripoff.
Oh, wait. Are you talking about... Wait, Sydney Sweeney is precog?
No.
Oh, okay.
Madame Web in the comics is a precog.
Got it.
Julia Carpenter in the comics, former Spider-Woman, now has Madame Web's precog powers.
Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't. When did this happen? How did this come about?
I had no idea, but it happened like in the past few years. I had no idea.
Is the real Madame Web also still around with precog powers?
I think so. Yes, I think so.
Okay.
But there is a comic on shelves now. It came out last week called Women of Marvel. It's one, you know, anthology series, up and coming creators, female creators. And there is a Julia Carpenter story where she has a big precognitive moment, a double splash page where you see scenes of upcoming Marvel stories. And there's a whole page of X-Men.
Okay, what is she seeing?
And so this is a window in what's to come.
Okay, give it to me. Oh, shit. I didn't know this was going to happen. What is it?
So in one window, we have a mohawked Storm. No texture, just a straight pin straight mohawk.
Loving it.
I hate it. Her hair should have texture. Standing in front of a podium, a lectern, delivering a political speech.
Okay.
Okay, so there's going to be some sort of ambassadorship, diplomacy, political stuff involving Miss Aurora Monroe.
Okay.
Which feels like, I don't know, after Queen of Mars, a step down.
But is she talking as the Queen of Mars? Is she like, hey, I'm visiting as the Queen of Mars?
It doesn't look like it. It does not look like it.
Okay.
But she may be, but it does not. Like, she's dressed like decidedly human. She's in like a suit. Like a business suit. Like, I would expect more flair from a Queen of Mars.
Okay.
And she's surrounded by like journalists or businessmen or senators, diplomats. I don't know. There's two other panels. One is, and these two panels are actually aligned with a rumor I've heard that there will be two X-Men teams coming out of the Krakoan Age.
Ooh, I love a two X-Men team, except what is the worst two X-Men team era?
Blue and Gold.
Oh my God. See, this is why we do a podcast together, because we're always on the same page. Blue and Gold,
unfortunately,
garbage.
The kitty panel looks a little reminiscent of Blue.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So she's in all blue. There's one other team member. So I'm assuming this is her team that we're seeing in this panel. The reason I say it smacks of X-Men Blue, there's a few characters in silhouette. I don't know. One of them reminds me of that like Deadly Nightshade character from X-Men Blue. Remember her with like the blindfold?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
like could be her, maybe not.
She was like from Madripoor, right?
Right. Or yeah. Like she was part of some group. Yeah. So it could be her, could not, I don't know, but there's basically a female character and two male characters in shadow. One character is visible, and then you've got Kitty front and center.
Okay, so this is probably like the new X-Force-y, like going around killing people team, do you think?
That would be awesome, okay. Because the other character who is seen with Kitty, who I would imagine is another member of her team,
okay,
is Miss Emma Frost.
Are they finally going to? Oh, no, I don't want them to be lovers. I want her to be with Tony. Oh, my God. I'm so confused. I'm conflicted. But hey, you know what? Astonished Miss Pride.
Astonished Miss Pride.
I love them together. Also, I love them Marauders. Together. Yes. Yes. Marauders. I love them together.
The other panel is also in line with who I've heard is the leader of the other team.
Okay. Yes.
And that's Miss Anna Marie, otherwise known as Rogue.
Rogue leading the other team. Okay.
And Rogue seems to be leading a very X-Men 97 type team.
Okay, we got some Gambit.
We have some Gambit.
Do we have a Psylocke?
No.
Okay. Oh, well, that's more the time. That's not the cartoon. So do we have a Jubilee?
Nope.
Okay, fuck. Do we have Beast? No, he's evil.
Nope.
Who the fuck do we have? But then Storm was not there.
We have a Logan.
Okay, Logan.
And while I'm not sure what his status of the cartoon is, he is a classic X-Men A-list lineup staple, Nightcrawler.
Oh, brother and sister.
Right. So it looks like we've got Logan, Rogue, Gambit, and Nightcrawler are part of one team. And then we've got Kitty, Emma, and some unknown others.
I mean, guess would be With Rogue as part of the Uncanny Avengers, Nightcrawler, although I guess they'd have to adjust. I was thinking maybe they're the public face, but Nightcrawler's still technically wanted. So maybe that will get resolved somehow.
Maybe, yeah.
But it seems like that would be the public face and Kitty Pryde's would be the underground
more
team.
Exactly. That would be very cool. Like the front of house and back of house.
But where are they going to be located? Are they going back to Xavier's mansion?
Kitty's background is like flames. Like Kitty is definitely like her scene is in some sort of like kind of disaster-y. I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's our first window into what's to come.
Okay, I love it.
There's also a girl on the other page. There are things you would hate, such as a venomed out Black Widow.
I mean, I'll tell you this. I always felt the Black Widow deserved powers. I feel like she deserved a level up. So
I agree.
Honestly, giving Black Widow venom powers, I wouldn't be mad at. She's the only person that I wouldn't be annoyed with being a
That's
venom.
Cool. That's great because we're getting it. And then there's like a young girl with Wolverine claws who's by herself dodging or like deflecting bullets. She's brunette. I cannot tell if this is Laura Kinney. Her hair is like shoulder length in this.
Or is it Honey Badger?
It could be Scout. I don't know.
Oh, that's right. She's Scout now.
Yeah, it actually, which I hate, it looks more Scout than it does Laura.
Okay.
But I don't see her scar.
Is that with Black Widow or separate?
It's above it, but okay. It's separate. Yeah.
Awesome. Is there anything else?
The stuff we don't care. Like more Spider-Man related stuff. And then there's this demonic woman who I'm not sure who that is. I'm sure some listeners will know. But you've got Spider-Gwen fighting Kraven, and you've got Jackpot, who's Mary Jane's new superhero character, and Black Cat on a rooftop together.
Now, Jackpot, Mary Jane's character, does she have powers?
I think so, if it's not tech.
Okay.
Because she wears like slot machines on her wrists.
That's all based off of one line of dialogue she said back then. That's
her
kind
first
of,
line of dialogue.
That's kind of stupid.
Yeah. There was a Jackpot there has been a jackpot in the comics for years, but for some reason it wasn't Mary Jane. It was like a fake out.
Can we talk about, what's her name? Julie Carpenter.
Yeah.
So let's just help me, just so I can get this in my head. She appeared in Secret Wars first, right?
That's right. She, her first, pretty much like her first adventure was Secret Wars. She was created in a lab.
And
experimented on.
And then she joined Freedom Force with Mystique.
That's right. That's
so
right.
She was on the team, like, with Mystique and what's her name? Spiral.
She thought they were good.
Yeah.
And then she was like, they're not good. I'm leaving.
And then I'd have no idea what happened to her after that.
Then I think West Coast Avengers. No,
oh, West Coast Avengers. Okay. But then at some point, does she still have her regular Spider-Woman powers and the precog?
She does.
Okay.
I believe she does. Yeah.
Is she blind?
Yes.
Why do you have to be blind to see the future?
Dramatic irony.
No, but now I'm just wondering, blindfold, destiny, Madam Web. And now Julia Carpenter. What is that? That feels kind of ableist to me. That seems really weird.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Okay.
Daredevil, right. I don't know who else.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, is there anything else?
No, that's it. That's, the heat is down.
Shit.
On the hot topics.
I'm really excited for that. That's interesting. I like those little spoils.
Okay.
How about we talk about the regular X-Men world? What's happening right now? Hit it.
I was reading X-Men comics in a cocktail bar. That much is true. Yeah.
Okay. What are we going to start with?
Cable?
Yeah, let's start with Cable so we can
talk
about
that. Cable number two, which is...
I was really into it the first episode. Totally fell off the second episode.
Yeah.
The bad guy, what's his name again?
The Gray Gargoyle.
This battle just was very... And I know
it went on forever.
And I know it's Fabian... how do you say his last name?
Nicieza.
And who is like the famous, been 30, 40 years in the game writing comics. It felt very 90s to me in a way that felt out of place to me. It just felt like a very long, drawn out fight that I ended up just getting very bored with.
Yes, with no kind of like real stakes.
And I feel these new stakes are all just him trying to stop all these people that might stop this evolution of these other futuristic creatures that will destroy the universe. What are they called? The no-men?
The neocracy?
Neocracy. And right now it also feels, but the problem is because the neocracy feels so separated out from the rest of the X world that I don't feel the stakes, because I feel like this isn't affecting any of the other comics, so I know it's not going to be a big deal. I feel like I already know they're going to save the day, so I'm not scared about it.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what the purpose of this book is.
Yeah.
You know, I would like if the why was kind of laid out, and like, I guess the why is to stop this threat that means nothing to me from happening.
And after they beat the first guy, then they go to the second place, and it's Amanda Mueller. Have we seen her before?
Yeah, the Black Womb. She's an established character
in the X-Men world.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't remember her.
Yeah. I don't know much about her.
And then she's like, "Here, I have these clones of the X-Men that are going to fight you." And I don't know. I'm just kind of like, it's weird. If we already got rid of Mr. Sinister, we got rid of Resurrection is kind of on the downturn. Don't turn around and be like, "Hey, I was able to clone Jean Grey to fight you." You know?
Right.
It's just very like, oh, okay.
You get it's a last page reveal that merits an eye roll.
Yeah. And I think it's like maybe in the 90s, that would have been like, what? Wow. Who are these people? But it's like, it's everything. That's the hardest part about living today is everything has been done before. It's really hard to kind of give a reveal, you know, like a surprise twist. So right now this is it's entering meh
It's not bad or anything. It's just,
Do we, the guy who, like, after the Great Gargoyle stuff is over, before this guy, like, telekinetically, I guess, floating tablets and smartphones all around him. Are we supposed to know who this is?
He reminds me of, I don't know.
I thought this was John Sublime.
That's what I was about to say. He's the, from Grant Morrison's run.
Yeah.
The one who did Martha.
A bunch since then.
The one who fucked up Martha, right?
Yeah.
That's who it reminds me of, but I am not sure if that's him or not. But that's who it reminds me of.
Yeah, it's weird. He says a confrontation between me and Cable was only a matter of time. I was like, am I supposed to ascertain who you are from that? I don't know.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. Good thing I don't care. Otherwise, I'd be really upset.
Yeah, we'll see how this goes. Right now, it's not on the, you know, the last series of Marauders or anything. We're not at that level yet. We're not at, what's that, the Children of the Vault level. But, you know, right.
It just feels like somebody was like, you know what we should do with Cable? He should be like, and then
that was the end of the conversation.
Cable should be a being made out of energy. Get it? Like Cable, it's ironic because Cables carry energy. And then someone's like, okay, let's write a story where at the end Cable becomes a being of energy.
And then he changes his name to USB-C. Like, it's just the, I'm not into it.
No, not into it. Next.
Shall we talk about Wolverine?
Oh, I'm sorry. Going back to Black Womb, she is Amanda Mueller. She is a woman who started to manifest some, like, something close to mutant DNA or was mutant DNA, and early Nathaniel Essex, like, experimented on her.
Oh, okay. So she is connected to Sinister then.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Just so you know. What did you recommend next?
Wolverine.
Let's do it.
This felt very filler to me.
It's a 10-part story. I'm like, that's too much.
And I will say I do like that. Is it Mindy or Phoebe?
Phoebe entering the fray.
Phoebe
got involved. Yes.
Because she's mad about Mr. Quentin. I do find, it opens up how, like, Wolverine chopped off his hands and his feet so he could, like, get away. And then we have him being, like, healed in a Krakoan healing bay, and North Star and Aurora are fighting. I found this very interesting, where Aurora's like, your son was my boyfriend and he's dead and you don't even care and I'm mourning the death. I'm like, he is mourning. He's wanting to go and kill. That's how Wolverine mourns. He kills. And you know how Aurora mourns? By being a fucking bitch.
Well, she blames him for the whole thing.
Well, I mean, it literally is because of him.
It is. And also by the way, you were a shit dad and he was in a lot of pain because of it.
Well, I mean, I will say, back when he was a shit dad and murdered him, your boyfriend used to be a psychotic serial killer.
Right.
What are you going to pretend that didn't happen?
Right. Although I will say this, I love somebody who is angrily stitching someone else up.
Oh yeah, love it.
It's really good object work.
With superhuman speed.
Right. I liked this opening scene. Because it was a moment away for, it was still the gory action and like the sewing up, but it were character moments, you know, of a character who we didn't really get to hear a lot from lately, Aurora.
Yeah.
So dig it.
I do like them as part of this X-Force team now, kind of brought in through that. Yeah. I think they're a very good part of that, especially
smart
with
addition.
Having North Star be conflicted with killing and what to do. Like, he's a very person, like, his character is always very aloof and the greater good. And, like, it's very, I think he's a good person to put that in. And then Aurora, because she's Looney Tunes.
Now, why do I hate that they're in this?
You hate that they're in it?
Why?
Because they're not having gay sex. Because
they're going to get fucking killed. Like,
oh,
because
they're
going to
be killed. Oh, right. Well, it's been a while, and another main character has not been killed yet. I really thought Domino was going to bite it when she battled the pretty boy Sabretooth, and she did not. So, you know, who knows? We might not get any more deaths. Also, I don't care if they die, because Quentin Quire is going to, they're going to come back.
Yeah. I could see like someone be like, well, nobody cares about North Star and Aurora.
How dare so they? Oh, that's terrible. I do like that Sage is also useless.
Useless.
But I also, okay, did I miss the fact that Sage has telepathy?
Oh, she always did.
She's always had telepathy? I thought it was just technology telepathy.
Like real light telepathy.
Okay. Oh, that's because when she was at the Hellfire Tessa. Club, that's how she talked to Xavier or some shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I did not realize that.
Wasn't
Tessa
like a slightly telepathic character? I feel like they added the computer shit after.
I thought Tessa was always just a big old slut standing in the background the entire time. With her boobs hanging out. So I don't know. But
I truly do think her original power as Tessa was telepathy. And then they were like, just kidding. She's a walking computer. Okay, but what does that mean in terms of what her power? We still have not figured that out.
No, she's just real good at the computers.
If she's a living computer, why is she always in front of a computer?
Why is she an alcoholic? Anyway.
I think I hate Sage. I think Sage is my new Rachel Summers.
Yeah, Sage, I'm kind of over.
She has not been effective in the slightest.
And she's terrible at her job. Terrible.
The whole team is terrible at their jobs.
That is true. Well, I'll tell you, though, there's one thing I do like. I do like they capture the pretty boy Sabretooth. Phoebe's like, let me in there. But it turns out as she's going through all his memories, there's kind of like a psychic trap. And so she starts getting sucked in and being killed from it. And fucking Domino just fucking shoots him in the head. That was pretty cool.
Fucking
I do
that.
Like that.
That was great. Yeah.
But she's like, we got enough from him. Fuck this guy. I like the last line is, and fuck this guy. Boom.
Very Emma Frost, E is for Extinction.
The problem is now Phoebe is seeing the what is it? Not ghost. What is it? The
like the spirit
astral projection. Of Quentin being like, Phoebe, bitch, I'm sorry, but I'm kind of alive. And she's like, oh, Quentin. And they're like, oh, the girl's crazy. She's going through it. So they don't realize.
The telepath is crazy. Nope, just listen to her.
Anyway, but then it ends with Wolverine going off alone because he doesn't want to get anyone else killed, which I guess, you know, that's probably a smart idea.
I'm just like, here's my thing. If Sage is like a living computer and like is like just Miss Computer, like, isn't there a computer that can be like, hey, somebody's in the Blackbird?
Yeah, she's real bad. Also, maybe it's, hey, when we put Beast in prison, the old Beast, how about my computer brain doesn't forget to turn off his speech ability to override any of the systems where he was able to get himself... Like, get her shit together. We need, there needs to be an intervention.
Somebody needs to turn her off and turn her back on again.
Hilarious.
Actually, that did happen in Morrison's run.
With Sage?
Yeah, Bishop rebooted her. He pressed something like behind her neck, like a pressure point, a nerve cluster, and she rebooted.
That was in Morrison's run?
That was when Emma Frost got shot in the face.
Oh, right. And then because the other X-Men team was guesting in that. Yes. Okay.
All right.
Oh, thank God. I have been like, I've been looking over at my comic, my hard copy comic collection, and I am thinking of maybe reading the Morrison, Joss Whedon all in a row again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great.
So good.
I have the omnibus. Of both, actually.
I have it. I think mine's like in three books. What do we talk about next? Resurrection or Invincible?
Yeah,
Dead? Let's save Dead for last because I feel that's the main direction of where everything's going.
Let's talk about Resurrection.
All right. Wah, I'm Wolverine and I'm sad I killed people. That's what I got out of this.
Wait, what are you're Magneto, you mean?
Oh, that's what I mean, Magneto, yeah.
Oh my God.
Wait, what did I say?
Wolverine.
Oh, Wolverine.
It's getting worse, girl. Like, sister, can we have an intervention? about your names?
I'm just old. No, but it's because I literally was clicking off the Wolverine comic. I was clicking off the Wolverine comic and then clicking on the Resurrection comic, and then that happened.
All right.
Yeah, but that's the running joke, is I'm old, I'm senile. We'll just roll with it, Brett.
It's very Katya coded.
Yeah.
All right. And I'm the Trixie, you're the Katya, right?
I think that's true.
Okay. I always wondered. The art in this Resurrection of Magneto number 2, it's just gorgeous.
Yeah, it's good. Who did it?
It's Luciano Vecchio.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Really, like a big step up for him again.
This actually, from the older stuff he did, I feel like growth in what I've...
More grown up.
Don't you feel? I felt his stuff used to be very, very cartoony. Like cartoony.
Yeah.
I'm liking it.
So love it. Really love the evolution of this really good artist. And
or maybe that's just the inker. I don't know. Well, anyway.
Maybe. We focus on all the people who died directly at the hand of Magneto, or that he feels responsible for.
We also go back to the whole Namor thing where he got that key.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yep.
So he has that magic key.
Yeah. One thing, I did like the Morrison run shout out where they show the death of Basilisk that Magneto accidentally killed during Morrison's run.
Wait, I thought that wasn't Magneto in Morrison's run.
No. Oh, God.
Wasn't that a whole retcon that it wasn't him?
Oh, fuck.
Because you're saying it was Zorn turned into Magneto. Wasn't a retcon that it wasn't him after all? Or was it? Or was it just Zorn? There is a real Zorn, and that wasn't the real Zorn.
Nobody knows who that fucking thing was.
But was that the real Magneto? Because that was full on evil.
He was beheaded.
Oh, he was beheaded at the end of that. Oh yeah, Jean Grey died in that. Fuck, that was which of the cuckoos got her earrings stabbed in her ears?
Esme.
Shit.
Anyway, whoever the fuck that guy was, this Magneto feels bad about what that guy did to Basilisk.
Okay, yeah. And he's going through all of the names. He's trying to be like, I'm sorry I killed all these people.
Yeah.
And Storm is just like, whatever, I need your help.
Storm's like, get over it. You know, one thing I loved is the line. Before she says a word, she summons a fall of snow to cool the air. Compassion, always her deepest instinct. I liked that.
Yes. And basically, she kind of gives a heads up of what's going on with the world now. And I love that he's like, I told you to fucking watch Charles Xavier.
I told you to fucking watch him.
And what did Aurora do? She was like, you and me are not friends anymore, and I'm not fucking talking to you. And if I see you again, I'll fucking kick your ass. So she was like, I'm a badass. But she did forget that Magneto was like, no, don't leave him alone. That was the worst thing you could have done. I think that's kind of funny.
Aurora, he's like, why are you here in hell with me? And she's like, I felt your pain. And so I'm here. I'm just here.
Yeah.
And also, shit is so fucked up out there. We could really use you.
Yeah. And so he's like, hey, I've killed all these people. But she's like, but here, look at this. Here's also the names of everybody you've saved. And he's like, I don't care.
But he does care. It does help.
In the end, it helps. He pulls out the key, turns it, falls into a hole. And then is this the Shadow King?
It certainly is the Shadow King.
Is it the real Shadow King, or is this just like another?
I would imagine this is the real Shadow King.
Because when the Shadow King was in the New Mutants the last time, right? Or was that
he
just
was like a little reformed?
Was that just the person that he possessed? What's his name?
Amal Farouk.
Was it just Amal Farouk?
Oh, yeah. They did separate Amal Farouk from the Shadow King.
And so this is the Shadow King. So now they have to battle the Shadow King. How many issues is this run?
I think it's five.
Five? Okay. Five. Yes, just the five.
One fun fact.
Yes.
If you look at the panel where he is flashing back, he's cradling Xavier. in his arms under where he holds up Max Eisenhart's name as somebody who died under his watch.
Yeah.
That panel is straight from Uncanny X-Men number 200, The Trial of Magneto. Where Xavier's on the floor. Yeah.
Yeah, that was very gay. This felt very gay. Where I'm like, you guys, can we just make it canon that you guys at least sucked each other off once? Because this is...
You did something in college.
Something went on. Something fucking happened, okay?
A little astral plane sex.
One night, things got a little out of hand.
Many people died.
Yeah. I will say, do you think... do you think this ends, I guess it's called the resurrection, that it will end when he's finally back on Earth? Or do you think he's going to get resurrected and they're going to have a few of the issues with him back on Earth? Mars?
It's a great question.
Because part of me feels like it's called the resurrection of Magneto. I kind of know it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. So the idea, it's like, now it's the Shadow King. What's going to happen? I'm kind of like, you're going to beat it.
You're going to be resurrected. But then again, remember that book, The Trial of Magneto, where Scarlet Witch created the waiting room?
There wasn't a trial.
It wasn't even about Magneto.
Oh my God.
So you never know.
All right.
Done. I do like that he felt guilty that they finally addressed that fucking Toad, took the blame for the murder of the Scarlet Witch. Which I was always like, why did he do that?
Yeah. And also he just added up how it was fucked up. He sent most of those people into the pit. We made up these stupid rules and literally put people in the pit for I hit a rock and hurt Krakoa. Go into the pit, bitch. That's crazy.
Crazy.
Speaking of crazy, Tony Stark is crazy for Emma Frost. Am I right?
Crazy in love.
Crazy in love.
Crazy for you.
Let's talk about Invincible Iron Man.
So it starts with they're getting ready for the big push, the big final battle.
But Tony does kiss Emma, as you heard in the beginning scene. And that's right. Does feel like, I know that kiss, the big goodbye was on the horizon. So it's kind of hinting they're going to break up, which is breaking my heart.
I think it's going to be worse. I think she's going to fucking wipe his mind of the whole thing.
No.
Or it would be much better if she was like, listen, let me just take this away so you don't, and he'd be like, no, a broken heart over you is better than nothing.
Ugh.
I would love that. So he's giving her a gift. I thought it was going to be the Cuckoo's book.
Yeah, I did too.
It's not. Remember when I was like, wait, is she wearing a weird ring thing that's allowing
it
her to shoot?
It was a thing shooting.
Yes.
But she was also holding those people like dogs. So I thought it was just a fancy...
Mandarin rings. Very
Yeah.
Weird.
Okay. Yeah. So it was, I thought of that where I'm like, oh my God, it was not very clear in the way it was drawn the other time. Yeah. He gave her a magic shooting brass knuckles, I guess.
Yeah. One says hell, one says fire.
And, but then Tony gets attacked by one of the Orcus Wolverines.
Yeah.
And Emma Frost comes in all in diamond form.
She comes back. This also is very E is for Extinction coded, where she was like, oh, I forgot my, lucky for you, I forgot my bag. Calling back that moment where she joined the X-Men in the first place.
Yes. And he has his new Mysterium Iron Man suit.
Yep. So he uses that. Surprise. Takes down the Wolverine robot. Emma loves it.
They kill the Tony Stark Sentinel.
They kill the Tony Stark Sentinel. And then Tony is like, all right, it's time to really do the plan. And so what Phylong and Orcus thought was ships carrying mutants from Mars to Earth was not. It was body parts for new armor. A giant Sentinel Buster.
Sentinel Buster. And then taking the bait, because Phylong is totally ruled by ego, he goes and flies off because he can't lose. And so now it's going to be huge ass Phylong Sentinel versus huge ass Sentinel Buster Iron Man.
And Phylongs is a war machine.
Sentiment. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That is right. It is a war machine. So that's yeah. So now we're gonna have the big Godzilla versus, you know, this is like a mecha battle.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have to think like Rhodey is gonna show up, because remember like Rhodey was in jail and Kingpin got him protected.
He got him. Did he got protected? But he still isn't out yet.
I have to think if there's like a war machine sentinel, like we're gonna see war machine show up.
I would love that.
I would love that.
Great. Love it.
Great.
I wonder, is this comic going to keep on going or is it going to end after the X-Men stuff is done?
I feel like it'll keep going, but maybe it won't be Duggan anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. And then we have our team of dead X-Men. Number two.
Dead X-Men.
So when last we saw the team, like one thing I didn't really appreciate was during a battle in an alternate timeline, the son of Cannonball and Smasher smashed the M-Cran crystal out of Orbis Stellaris's hands, or one of them, Stasis, one of them, and it shattered, and a fragment embedded itself into Prodigy's chest.
Yes, seemingly making him able to handle all of the power that he has. Right?
Yeah, absorb. Like those limits have come off. He can now... He absorbs too much, but he's able to handle it because he's got a little piece of M-Cran crystal inside of him.
Love that.
Love that. So basically this team's like, okay, we're talking to Rachel Summers. Her face is in a waterfall. Isn't that cute? They're on Atlantic Krakoa in the White Hot Room. Rachel is in the no place. And they're like, we need you. What's the mission?
Well, I think eventually they're like, for some reason, they are like, we're not done. We found her. We absorbed it. But we still need to go back to an earlier Moira. I think they still want to get to an actual Moira in the timeline, right?
So what the way we actually were like misspeaking a little bit. I don't know. Last week, maybe we weren't. But they've been dancing around the alternate timelines to Moira's life 10 that were created via the Moira engine, the Moira bombs. So they were dancing around. Now what they want to do is going actually to the real, be able going to go past into life. Her past lives.
Yes.
And yeah. Rachel's like, that's suicide. And Dazzler's like, well, let's do it anyway.
Yeah. And they're like, but resurrection. And she's like, who cares? Because I'll be resurrected anyway. Because last issue, we completely destroyed 20 years of continuity. And I can't be resurrected. All right, sorry. That was just me just being bitter about that again.
Oh, poor Dazzler and her immortality storyline that went nowhere. So they go to one of Moira's past lives, and it's a life where Ultron took over.
And they are kind of like, hey, this didn't really happen in this life. Prodigy's like, I don't remember this happening. And it's because that other Moira has already fucking showed up and is starting to change things. And now they're doing shit, so they're changing things. What does this mean? I love that we get very similar to Grant. Speaking of, there's all these references to Grant Morrison, just like her,
yes, the Emma her
when Emma first gets her diamond form in Genosha, coming out with a dead teenage Negasonic warhead. We have her coming out. Emma Frost, this is before she never was part of the X-Men, getting her diamond form, but she doesn't get it in time and she dies. That was very interesting.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Yeah, so, you know, Cyborg Moira, she's going around killing Gyrix.
But that's the thing is, because she jumped in and killed Gyrix, that led for the Sentinel attack. That all did not happen in Moira's
right.
in that timeline. Right. Is that going to now change the 10th timeline? And I think that's where they're like, uh-oh, what's happening? So this will be very interesting.
Moira is supposed to, in this life, Moira of that timeline dies in about 10 years.
Yes.
And so they're like, oh, is that going to get fucked up?
Yeah. So I find all this very interesting. I'm very like, I can't wait to see how this is going to resolve itself.
Yeah. And so basically now we have a team of X-Men dedicated to taking down Moira. This I can get behind.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
And I love this team.
Yeah. I do. I like it too.
Keep them going. Give them a book. Give them a book.
I do. Yeah, maybe. But then, I don't know. Anything we want never happens.
Not anymore. It did already.
Yeah.
And now it's gone. I hear that somebody posted on Instagram, I just read Wednesday's issue of X-Men and it's garbage, everybody. Garbage. I'm like, great.
Wait, of what, this one?
Yeah, it's a guy who runs a comic shop.
Oh, he thinks this is garbage.
No, he thinks the one coming in 2 days is garbage, which he has already read.
Oh, but of actual the X-Men comic.
Yeah, X-Men number 32.
Well, all right. Well, you know.
Well, bye.
We'll be the judge of that. Because also, who are you, Mr. X-Men? Are you one of those people that's like, lesbian, Psylocke, Captain Britain? It's like, not, you know what I mean? No. I need to know who this person is. So we might love it.
Hope so.
All right. Well, that's all the X-Men, right?
That's it for comic books on this episode. Do you want to get into a little bit of RuPaul's Drag Race?
I wanted to talk about Dune, but some loser has not watched it yet.
I was in Atlantic City. We got to see Dune next week, and I am going to fuck that popcorn bucket.
Only at AMC though. There was no popcorn bucket where I saw. I saw it at the Kodak Theater, at that Chinese theater at the Kodak, where the Kodak Theater is, where they were setting up for the Oscars, which is also next week.
We'll talk about that next week too.
Woo!
Yay! Yeah. I actually have you seen the you know the movie chains Cinepolis. Cinepolis? I don't know how you pronounce it.
I don't
it.
Think we have those here.
There's one in New York. Actually, I think it just shut down in Chelsea. Oh, it just shut down. There's an ad where it's like a woman who's going in to see Dune, and then like Timothy Chalamet leans down next to her and like takes some of her popcorn, and then Zendaya is there and like gives her hand, and they like walk into the theater with her. It's also like somebody tweeted and I reposted because it's so funny. It looks like it's an ad for bisexuality.
That is just the way they play it. I love it.
It's really, you got to check it out.
Also, if any two people are going to make you bisexual, it's Timothée Chalamet and Zendaya, like two of probably the most beautiful human beings on the planet.
Yes. Yes. Amazing.
And just my one little preview of Dune, acting is phenomenal.
Oh, I can't wait.
They're so good. Anyway, okay, but we'll talk about it next week. Let's hit the music and then we'll talk about some Drag Race. Hit it. Drag Race.
So this was the top eight, right? And now we're down to seven.
And we have another sewing challenge. Isn't it weird?
A third sewing challenge.
Isn't it strange that Q, Nymphia, and Saphira are all seamstresses and they keep giving out sewing challenges? They know what they're doing. Isn't it weird if you look back at season 8, where there was somehow like 5 comedy challenge when Bob the Drag Queen was on? They know what they're doing. They're like, we need these 3 to move towards the end.
Yes.
And there it's a goth challenge, which my little dark soul was like, yes.
Loved it. Before, what was the mini challenge before? The spit take challenge.
Stupid.
So disgusting. So disgusting. What I would have done on the spit take challenge is the second RuPaul said my name, I would have done a spit take.
I would have swallowed it and been like, whoops. Old habits are hard to break.
Hilarious. So Nymphia won that, which was great because she fucked up the Snatch Game so bad.
Yeah. And here
then we have the sewing challenge.
And so for the sewing challenges, we end up starting to see where the bottoms are going to be and where the tops are going to be. Nymphia, once again, is like, I don't know what I'm doing. And everyone's like, shut the fuck up.
That's her process.
She actually admitted, we all knew she did fashion, but she like went to like some huge high-end fashion school.
Yeah, Fashion Italia.
So it was just like, you know, okay, girl.
Okay.
Like even when they weren't talking about her fashion, when she had to make that doll dress where it was the dress with the huge bow, I'm like, that I've never seen anything like that before. That's brilliant.
Gorgeous. Yeah.
Like, so I had no doubt she was going to make something brilliant. Let's do a quick rundown. But there was drama where Plasma was like, should I do something different than what I normally do? Dawn was kind of like, you keep doing the same old Hollywood, but they want modern neo-goth, which I feel was good advice.
It was from good Dawn. Advice.
And people were like, oh, it's sabotage. I'm like, no, because I think if she did a poorly constructed old Hollywood goth, she would have been in the bottom.
I think she would have been
in the bottom no matter what.
I agree, because she's never really been able to pull a look together like on any sort of level. And Dawn, it was a rare instance of Dawn I felt was being kind of genuine, even in the confession.
And then it backfired where they're like, sabotage, right. You're a bitch.
Saboteur. And she's like, no, I actually, this time I really was trying to help somebody out.
And speaking of helping someone, Saphira goes and pretty much guides Maya of how to make her entire dress.
Makes the entire dress. Which, no hate on Maya. It's a game. Get there how you need to get there.
But it is called out.
It is called out.
And I do find it interesting that they complained about her constantly having high necklines that give her no neck, since she does not have a neck.
She's so like short.
And so they gave her the same critiques. She also wore a long wig that covered up the lace in the back of
her
dress.
Which was the whole point of the reveal.
And then she was walking around just like holding a skull on her hand. It wasn't even a bracelet. It was just like there.
Or like a ring. Yeah.
And then she had the birds in the skull, and I'm like, what? There's no concept.
There's no concept. There's no vision. Here's why I'm shocked that Maya is still on. Like, the people who aren't with it do not succeed on Drag Race. Like, the drag queens that are with it, a wink, you know, they understand subtext and text. They get references. They get jokes. They're the ones who thrive. Maya Amon LePage is none of those things. Like, even her humor in Snatch Game, she did well because she just stayed in character and had fun and kept it very simple.
Yeah.
But there's like, she does not get it on a level. She's just a stupid person.
I mean, I'm not going to go that far. Let's not be cruel, but you know.
I don't mean stupid, but like, she's not savvy.
Things
like,
go over her clever. Head. She'd be like, back when it was like, hey, how's your head? And Miss Fame kept saying, well, you know what? I'm really in the game. Like she, and RuPaul just wanted her to say, haven't had any complaints.
Right.
Maya would have done the same thing.
Maya would never.
It's going. Everything's going over her head. I will say she's getting bitchier, and that's fun.
That is fun, but it's just like.
All right. Well. Let's get to. Let's first talk about the tops. We had Plain Jane. Plain Jane wasn't in the top, but I felt she did very well.
I mean, it was not something worthy of a fashion competition. It was like a really good,
but it was nothing that deserved to be in the bottom.
No, if she was at Playhouse in the Village, you'd be like, oh my God, she's so deep. She's so beat. Oh my God. But like on that stage.
But let's go for me. The top three were my top three, which was Q, Nymphia, and Dawn. But where it did differ is I like Q's was my least favorite of the three.
It was the least goth, and therefore did it deserve to win the most? Like, it was the biggest departure, but it still worked?
Well, I do feel there is that part of goth where it's those old Victorian dresses, which that was kind of reminiscent of. But
I would have went full bridal.
But she put everything on it. It was a bow and a bow and a bow and a this and this. It was just too much.
Like
the cobwebs on the chest, it was too much. Where then you go to Dawn. Dawn would have been my favorite. I think she needed those chandelier parts to not be in black. It all just, exactly. I felt it was it all blended together. And I could just see, when you looked it up closer, like, oh, that looks so cool. I just wish those chandeliers were like crystal or something that shined and were in black. And then I think that would have been the winning look.
I agree. And Nymphia is what, like,
but Nymphia's was my favorite. Nymphia's was incredible.
But that also didn't read on TV very well.
Yeah.
It was kind of just like a mess of black.
But it did feel goth. A lot of other people's did not feel goth.
Michelle critiqued Nymphia for hiding her face. I actually thought that was very goth.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God. Bangs covering your eyes. Like, mm-hmm. I just, but then speaking of people that don't get goth, like even more Plain Jane's was not goth. It was S&M. Like, you know,
yeah.
Her makeup was a little more goth though. I do feel who did have good goth, but I just felt wasn't constructed as well, was Morphine. Had a very beautiful, I mean, her makeup is always so fucking
mug
great.
To the gods. Yes.
But I just felt like if she just, the finishes on her dress felt a little amateurish.
They were floppy. Yeah.
And if they weren't, she could have been in the top. But then for me, Plasma just...
unforgivable.
There's nothing like she was just like black and white Cher. Like it made no sense.
There was nothing goth. There was nothing,
like,
cute. Like basically it was just bad drag. It was bad amateur. I think I'm going to be a drag queen one day. Day one drag.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
She needed to go. And she did.
But she won two episode. So here I'm going to show you. Here's someone named Q who was doing great, great, great. Up, you can't dance. You're in the bottom two. Plasma, you're doing great, great, great. Won two challenges. Now you're in the bottom two. These lip syncs went two completely different ways. A mandatory meeting did a better lip sync than Q, but Q was kind of given, sorry, she's been doing too good. We can't get rid of her.
Right, right. And you did that purple makeup, so you got to go.
And Plasma did not get that same treatment because clearly, and I will say, I did not like that that Maya did not have a wig underneath when she did the reveal.
See, this is what I'm talking about. Like, you just don't get it. Like, you can't do the Sasha Velour
without a wig underneath.
Without having at least a pussy, like a pussycat wig underneath.
A pussycat wig. And we know you have a pussycat wig because you've worn them before. So that was for me.
Stop taking your shoes off.
But when she did those flips and was twirling the thing, like she was turning it out.
Oh,
and
she's
that's
great. She was turning it out.
And so that's the problem is incredible. When she's good at this one specific thing. And when she does it, you're like, fuck.
But it's the thing you need to be good at.
But she's not good at anything else.
Anything else.
And I don't think that I would not have been mad if she was like, you did great, but you didn't have a wig. Plasma stays. I would not have been angry at that. But I also understood. Clearly, Maya turned the shit out with the dance. So I think people are very angry and other people are like defending Maya. I felt it could have gone either way. So I'm not mad about what happened.
And I apologize for calling her stupid. You're just because you don't understand subtext, metaphor, wit does not mean you are stupid.
It more means you're just naive.
Yeah, you're witless. You're a half-wit.
I love how you're just making it worse. What I'm saying is she's a piece of garbage. And okay, tell us what you really think, Plain Jane.
No,
sister,
like,
you don't get it.
Sister, you just really don't, aren't able to really put two and two together. And when you do, you get five.
Anyway, but you know.
Anyway, so is, you know who I am a little worried about?
Who?
Safira girl. Where's my episode one, Safira?
We'll see. Because here's the thing. Next week is a dance challenge. Like, not dance, but like a performance challenge. And Safira and Nymphia are going to slay that shit. So yeah. I'm excited for that.
Do you know what the maxi challenge is specifically?
Just from the previews just showed them dancing around to something.
Okay.
I think Rue said something in the previews of like, but I can't remember what it was. Mm. But they were all dancing, which means Q might be in trouble.
Yep.
Well.
We did it, girl.
We did it. It's almost an hour. It's time to get the fuck out of here.
Let's get the fuck out. You've got a whole day ahead of you.
Yes.
Well, thanks everybody for listening.
Tune in next week. We're going to talk about the Oscars and shit.
We're going to talk about the Oscars. We're going to talk about Dune. We're going to talk about evidently that really shitty X-Men number 32, but we'll see. We're holding out hope.
And you know what else? But there's something I do want to talk about right now.
What?
It's the fact that I have an insatiable hunger for penises.
When did that start?
It started when I read comics. Because why? I don't know if you're aware of this. But if you read comics, well, then that makes you
queer.
Bye.